know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
What that's from?
Crotchpot Cooking.
No, it's from Robin Williams in the movie. Oh, okay. Yeah. Good morning, Vietnam. I've felt that so many times on mornings when I'd wake up in my tent, you know, and come out into the world and good morning, Vietnam. I wish I, that would have been a good idea, but my tent got demolished. Well, when you just approached me and asked me would I be willing to speak, or would I like to speak even on Occupy, what are you calling it?
Occupy Boston Radio.
I never pass up an opportunity to speak.
Right on.
Which some people regret, and I don't blame them. At the same time, I was aware of having a very heavy heart about how this happened. Mm-hmm. And let me put it in the context of that from day one of stepping on, which was way back, I have been both sad and baffled of the way in which people within the media group seemed to be, I know you're not, no, thanks, seemed to be, or people having the access to the technology, maybe that's, but especially in what's it being labeled as messaging, took on a self-appointed role of being in control of that. Now, the reason why I'm saying that now and how it involves whether or not I would want to support this radio, which I do want to do, is that I was meeting with Sarah and Jorge and the other folks, and we were working hard at a very grassroots level to try to put up the radio. And as I understand it, and believe me, I would love to have a conversation so I can get perspective, somebody usurped that, and all of a sudden, y'all are up. And I, from what I hear from Sarah and the other folks who were trying to build this radio thing, they feel very, very overlooked. And why I think it's important, and I know you all didn't mean to do any of that. That wasn't, I can't imagine that that's what anybody intended to do. Although offline, I would like to hear more about how it all happened in that respect. But I speak about it because it's what, in, even in this meeting that I have been trying to uproot, is how do we do what we do? And that, to me, if you're talking about a radical change, is becomes as important as what we do. Because if we replicate our own tendencies, which we've been ingrained with, to one up, one down, even if it's not what we're meaning to do, what have we built? I don't think the three of you sitting here are doing that. I really don't. But it is alarming me at this point, especially as we move into this next phase, and you've got a group of people right now who can't even decide how to move forward because our needs are so unaddressed, whether they be our personal needs or our political needs. And the last thing I would say about that is that having been an occupier, and also having been instrumentally involved in several of working groups that were important for me, I was speaking up weeks ago about this rift between on-site occupiers and off-site occupiers. And it really saddens me. And last night, when the folks who got arrested and who we lost our community space, only our community space that we've been building heart and soul, people didn't even want to hear those stories. They asked to move on. And you know, grown men cried last night. And something's not right about that. And something's not right about sitting in this meeting and overhearing a comment of, well, the camp wasn't important to all of us. And, well, I don't need it to be. but I don't want that kind of disrespect. Now, the campers, or the occupiers, have contributed to this rift, too. I mean, my God, you know, you walk through and the drunks and Phil and whatever. I was the target of Phil's wrath more times than I'd like to count. He would stand there with me and keep a sign over my head that called me the whore from hell and the cow bitch facilitator fascist. So, I mean, like, I was getting that, too. And who wants that? But if you're not within the community enough to have a way to understand who Phil is and what place he had in the community, although we didn't want him to have it, then you're more inclined to see it as not good. And I'm sorry for that. I'm really sad about that. And I'm also, I told you I talk, is that I regret that I haven't yet found a way to be with other folks of my generation who have been doing movement building for over 40 years to offer some historical and political context by which we see what we're doing. And my personality perhaps is getting in the way of that, but I regret that.
So what do you think it would take to get those voices involved in the process?
Stopping and slowing down enough, first of all.
So they're here already, the people?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, not just here in this room. But you know that. Yeah. Oh, I see what you mean. I misunderstood. Well, I've been talking to folks, and I've been thinking about, and as soon as the immediate needs in terms of proposals and steps, you know, sort of clears out just a little bit, I will be proposing with others that we form an elders council who will do a series of teach-ins about movement building, about solidarity, about those types of things that hopefully people will find of use. Because that's what we all want to do, isn't it? To be of use.
That's something that my mother would love to get.
There you go.
She can walk, but she can't, like, take the train, walk around Boston, the hustle and bustle. But she's a very sociable person. She's, like, the opposite of me. She would love to come to, like, a meeting, you know, and share, like, which is her from the 60s, you know?
Great. I'll find a way to make sure she gets to be where she wants to be right now.
You know, I'm personally always torn on, you touched on the camp, the people who occupy the camp and the people who, you know, 24/7 and the people who don't. And I'm always torn by that myself because I do not occupy the camp. And I try to put a lot of effort into it. But, you know, like you were, you touched upon, it kind of goes both ways there too. So, you know, sometimes I feel like people don't want me to have a voice because I'm not at the camp, even though I'm on IRC chat all the time and working to build the website and all this sort of stuff. And, you know, we just need to all be patient with each other.
Well, yeah, patience and get the earwax out. You know, I've heard people tell you and other folks, if you aren't, you know, an on-site occupier, you have no voice here. And I protest and, you know, challenge that just as quickly. What I did come to understand, though, is that some of that was a voice that was saying, we need to first be able to make decisions for ourselves. But again, because some people had whole other side of the continuum ideas about how to do that. Yeah, people would get shouted down. That's awful. It's awful.
I personally felt like, you know, any health and safety issues, as somebody who I was off camp, I want to help, but I'm just going to listen to whatever the people who are living there are saying.
Well, to take it in and consider it. I mean, we lost perspective, too.
Yeah.
We needed Maureen. My friend Maureen was great for reminding me, you know, Angela, you need to step back. And I'm going to take that opportunity in the next few days.
tell us just I don't know if somebody already asked this, so I hope because I've been wandering around, but can you just introduce yourself a little bit? Give us 2 minutes on how you got here, who you are, where you're from, what you've been doing.
Well,
no,
I don't mind. I'm trying to think how to keep it fresh for myself.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, but that's okay. That's okay. I just want to make it meaningful and authentic for the moment. Well, I'm 58. I'm an Italian hillbilly. Born and raised in West Virginia, one of my first formal jobs was transcribing grievances for the United Mine Workers. My first protest rally was in high school in 1968 about Earth Day. And I had the privilege of marching through several different movements, each that learned from the other. So as soon as I heard about Occupy Wall Street, I started putting my ear out about what was happening locally. And I don't do tweeting and all the social media, so it took me a few days. And I got down here as quickly as I could. The reason why I came down, and I have said this before, but I still mean it so much, is that I am aware of what I have to offer and how it's best used. And I knew I had to be on site for that to be helpful.
So can you tell me, like, I hear a common criticism of Occupy Boston being that previous movements all had, you know, an anti-war protest was anti-war, civil rights protest was civil rights. Somebody who's been involved in those things, can you debunk that BS line?
You better believe it. It's like, we have our no, I don't even want to use that term because I hate it. We know what we are protesting, we know what we are trying to build, and I am really proud of us for not having outside pressure force us into clarifying that and packaging it and operating off of it before we're ready.
You know, they very much like us, like the mayor said, like us to have a single issue, and a single issue actually will only appeal to a certain subset of the whole camp. It's a way of actually splintering us into those that support whatever the single issue we might have, or that sort of thing. And I feel like as long as we're all encompassing as much as we can be of the 99%, then I think we can make something good come out of this. And we're building and preparing.
Right? And I absolutely agree with that. And what I also think, and this goes back to my comments about the social and political context of things, is that what I see us trying to do is to bring together the interconnections and the interface between the tragic economic situation that we have right now and all these other issues of repression and oppression and cultural subterfuge, if you will, and say, no, wait a minute, this is all connected. And I think that it was important that there were single-focused movement building happening. And then when we went into more identity group related movements, like I was, you know, right in the middle of the beginning of the lesbian heydays and, you know, those kinds of things, those were important. It's Kuji Chagalia. You know,
Kuji, can you tell us what that is?
Kuji Chagalia. It is the third or fourth principle of Kwanzaa. It's a Swahili word that best translates to self-determination. You know, we will determine our own lives. And I am ill-informed and not well-equipped to do that if I can't make the connections. And one of the things, again, I'll go back to the occupiers, one of the things that was beautiful for me about watching people who were without homes, even people who had drug and alcohol addictions, some of them started to get it and felt very empowered about that. And it was a beautiful thing. It was a beautiful thing. Others could have cared less, and we're better to let them move on. But Kuji Chagalia.
Kuji Chagalia.
Great. Well, you know, one of the things I think is great for us to not have a single point is that a single issue like Menino wants us to have is that by bringing us all together around several points and things, you know, we're making connections that I think will exist outside of our physical location, and you know, we're all, you know, I would never have met you had I not had Occupy Boston, if it had been about electing a certain candidate, or if it had been about, you know, a certain issue that maybe I don't care strongly enough to head down to a meeting about, and this this has just been a life-changing and beautiful experience. I'm richer for it. Thank you, Angela.
Thank you, really, you all. And we'll talk offline later. Thank you so much.
Now, did you touch on why you don't like Occupy Boston Radio?
No, yeah, I said I started with that. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Thank you so much.
And it's not that I don't like it.
Anything else you want to say? You have the
mic
of the internet.
Yeah,
you have a great
voice. I do? Oh, whenever I hear my voice.
Yeah, like
you
said, you like to talk and you enjoy it.
Well, I actually want to have some radio shows. That's why I joined. I've never done radio before, but that's why I joined Sarah and Jorge and them, because I was thinking, oh, this will be a good place for me to learn, and also to a different medium to use to share, things. So, yeah, I will. I want us to reconcile what happened first. Thanks, though.
Thank you so much. That was Angela. You can see her. You could see her at camp. I'm sorry. But she was a fixture. You'll see her at each of the GAs. Oh, we got a little bit more.
And then, well, my home base, and I was the caretaker for the queer trans tent. I'm part of the facilitators working group, part of the anti-oppression working group, and I flitter around to the others as I feel the need is.
So come on out to the GAs, and she's always there, always smiling, and always great to be around. So we're gonna wrap up, and I think there's another group that was supposed to start meeting here at 2, right? And I feel like we're kind of blocking their space. So I'm going to see about moving up a little bit. Yeah. Thank you so much, Angela. It was really a pleasure.
I'm glad you all helped me to stop and actually talk.
Talking is a way of working through things. I have this friend online who read 1,300 self-help books. He's a little bit anal retentive when he latches onto an idea. And he came out of the whole experience that year, saying that the only piece of advice that he thought was useful in all of them was that writing things down, to a lesser degree talking about things, but writing things down is the best way to work through anything, whether it's, a psychological thing or whether it's interpersonal interactions, and then talking about them is the next best way.
I tend to believe that's true.
So thank you very much. It's